Good morning, everyone.
Yes, thank you very much for your time to attend this talk. I selected this 20 minutes for this MaxSec series for FIPS. The major idea, I just original idea was like I want to share some information about from a FIPS lab tester perspective to see what is required in MaxSec. Okay, so let's go. Yeah, in today's talk, I will provide some high-level introduction to the MaxSec overview. This is a very generic topic for each presentation. The MaxSec authentication mechanism and the keys, how the key, you know, what keys inside in the MaxSec, and also what key, how the key was established. Then talk about a little bit about the IG8.5, because IG8.5 was officially released. However, since last May, there's CMVP added a new MaxSec section into IG8.5, but it's still in the draft. No any updates for that. I believe CMVP, they're just reviewing that, the document. So I just bring some the main point from that draft MaxSec section. References, whenever I prepare this slide, I did some research and learn a lot from different documents. So they are pretty good, the persons present those, the knowledge about MaxSec online. So it's pretty helpful for me. The last, just like a question and answer time. Hopefully I can just catch up that time and give you time to discuss some MaxSec question. So let's go to the first one, overview. What is MaxSec? Actually, MaxSec is just like a media access control securities. It is like a IEEE 802.1 AE standard for authenticating and encryption packets between two MaxSec capable devices. This is like two physical devices on the network. It's hop by hop. It's kind of like different with the IPsec. So IPsec is kind of like talking about the end-to-end the protection, but this MaxSec is a hop by hop. It's two devices on the line network. It can just protect the protection. It consists two the planes, data planes specified in IEEE 802.11 AE to protect the data the traffic, and the control plane. It is for the MaxSec key agreement was specified in IEEE 802.x- should be like 2010. That is the document name. Spend a little bit of time on why MaxSec. Why do we need a MaxSec? MaxSec is specified layer two. Layer two is link layer in OSI model. Data encryption using the FIPS approved algorithm AES-128-256 GCM. And also he checked the supplicant's integrity, make sure this, it's a real authenticate, the unit can send the message and then protect the traffic. And due to those features, he can mitigate the network threat, including the denial of service, playback, eavesdropping, and main the middle and extra. So, but this is in theory. People, because there's like a secure tunnel between the supplicant and the switch, or you can say authenticator. So it can provide those the protection to prevent those attack threats. And some of the vendors, some of the manufacturers, they combined their MaxSec with IPsec to provide end-to-end network security, because the MaxSec provide like link layers, and IPsec provide layer three networking layer, so they combined each other to provide strong security assurance for the traffic. Still, some others, benefits depends on the different vendor have different flavor on that. So I don't want to spend too much on that. Next, still overview. How many components in MaxSec? So there are only three. Supplicant could be your laptop, or could be your IP phone, could be any devices which you want to plug into the corporate network or some other the LAN network. And authenticator, so some of the authenticator can be, think about like your switch or your module to forward some information at the beginning. Finally, we'll negotiate with supplicant to provide the ACK, which is like a MACsec key to protect your traffic. The third one is authentication server. So authentication server is kind of like optional because it depends on how many authentication mechanism you are using. If you are using the EAP, like the extensive authentication protocol, the reader server is required. So in that case, just like the diagram I draw here, the supplicant puts something, give it to this authentication information to authenticator. But in that case, in the EAP case, authenticator forward everything to the reader server. Reader server does the real authentication work. Then after authentication, the information, the keys were forward to authenticator. The next step will come into the negotiate between the supplicant and authenticator. Finally, to get the key to protect the, you know, the traffic. So the next case is the pre-share key. The pre-share key is the user or operator put the key into the supplicant and the authenticator. So in that case, there's no reader server is required. So I will show you the detail in the next slide. Authentication. So authentication, the first case I want to introduce is authentication using the EAP method. EAP method was specified in RFC 5247. For example, like EAP TLS, or maybe some vendor proprietary protocols using EAP as using EAP method. And next one is the external radio service was specified in RFC 2865. So the case like this, the picture like what I draw here is. Supplicant sends some information to authenticator want to join the network. So the authenticator forward that message to authenticator. Authenticator decide, okay, you are good or not. Then some of keys exchange will happen between the authenticator server, and the next step is authentication authenticator and the supplicant. So I will use this diagram later whenever I talk about the keys inside the MACsec. So let's move on to the next page. The next one is about the pre-share key. So as mentioned, so if the user want to choose you to use the pre-share key as authentication method, there's no need for authentication server. The key was input into both supplicant and authenticator. So here, authenticator pretty much function as authentication server. He will look at his own database to see, okay, whether this supplicant is acceptable or not. So the question is my MACsec okay with FIPS? So most of the time, whenever we receive the like this kind of the project from the vendor, we will look at, you know, doing a lot of the documentation review, testing. But most of the time, we will spend some time, a bunch of time on these keys. What key, how many keys appear in this MACsec service? How the key was derived? How the key was generated, how the key was transferred, what the transfer method meet the FIPS requirement, or something like that. So first of all, let's talk about the keys. First one is PSK, the pre-share key. This key was like was entered by the either crypt officer or administrator, you know, on both supplicant and authenticator. Authenticator, sometimes you can think about it like your switch. Okay, master session key. Master session key, that is at the end of the EAP, the negotiation. So the key, the MSK was derived at both supplicant and authentication server side. CAK is the connectivity association key. That key was directly derived from MSK. The CKN is just like is to identify the CAK name. The KEK is the key encryption key. So the KEK is this key was derived from CAK. Then the KEK was used to encrypt the ACK from the authenticator to your supplicant. Okay, so IC key, integrity check key, this is make sure the supplicant is authenticated. Then you know, make sure it's authenticated the same unit. Then he can just transfer the key, SAK to the supplicant. The last one, the SAK, is the Max Access Secure Association key. This key finally was used to protect the traffic between the supplicant and the authenticator. Actually, I will talk a little bit more about this key. SAK was derived from CAK. So, and also the KEK, ICK, all from this, the CAK. So that's why the CAK, that key is very, should be protected and shouldn't be compromised. Okay, so the key establishment. So just like mentioned, the pressure key is very simple. There's like, is entered by the user or tester. So on both supplicant and authenticator side. The master session key. Master session key, it was derived from this EAP session. You know, the more detailed things can be found at 802.1x-2010. This master session key was used on the EAP mode only, not in the pressure key mode. The CAK, connection association key. So from here, you can find out that CAK was derived from, so the key I mentioned in that parenthesis is from the MSK, which means MSK was used to derive that CAK. And the detailed information can be found at 802.1x-2010, section 6.62. So the next, CKN, to identify the CAK. The same thing, you can find out that the, oh yeah, so, and also there's a, like a KDI function. The KDI function was to collect all information, go through the KDI function, you know, to derive that, the final, the CKNK. The KEK, the same thing, you know, just like all information was specified in 802.1x. So this is KEK. KEK, the key from the KEK is the CAK. And the CKN, the key, is derived from MSK. The ICK, the integrity check key from CAK derivation using the KDF ASP100-108 KDF function. This is FIPS approved. And SAK. So SAK was derived from CAK. You have two options. So actually for this key is you have two options. One key, one option you can, you know, vendor can generate by the authenticator, which means you can call the FIPS approved RNG to generate this key, or you can derive from CAK. So two options are acceptable, and so it's up to you, it's up to the vendor how, you know, make the design to make sure it's easier, but either one is accepted by FIPS. So key transfer, so let me go back to my the previous diagram. Yes. So we introduced some of the keys from this diagram. You can see that successful authentication is the first step between the supplicant and the authentication server. So once the server authenticates the supplicant, So the MSK will derive from authentication server and the supplicant, both sides. Then MSK on the authentication server will derive to CAK. CAK was transferred to the authenticator. So in this time, because we saw them, the key, definition key functions, the CAK is very important key, should be protected. So that's why there's a secure tunnel between the authentication server and the authenticator. So either one, you can use IPsec, TLS, or you can use FIPS approved key wrap key method, which was defined in ASP100-38F, all FIPS approved. Okay, so let me go to next. Here, doesn't have like really a server, but you have the pressure key. The pressure key became the CAK. CAK then derived to KEK, ICK, and finally ACK. The one of the important things I want to mention that the ACK transfer, the ACK was derived on authenticator side. he need to transfer to the supplicant. So that case, what method should be used to protect this ACK? Because remember, at the end of the authentication, CAK was derived on both supplicant and authentication server side. So the CAK was used to protect that ACK transfer. Once both supplicant authenticator got the CAK, the traffic will be protected. Okay. So let me give a little bit quick. So just like a note for the vendor. So by the end of this year, December 31st, so the key used regular, you know, IGD.9, RSA-based key method, at least the 2048 is still allowed. However, from beginning of next year, this RSA-based key is not allowed in FIPS. And also for the AES and the triple DES key wrapping, only allowed by the end of this year. From next year, you have to use either the RSA-based transfer scheme with test file compliant with ASP/256, or you have to using the FIPS-approved ASP/130F to do the key wrap. So this is, I want to just make a note on that. DIV 8.5, so this one, very quick. 8.5 is officially released. However, the MACsec session talk about the IV generation for MACsec still in draft. So that's why I said was released last time. And so any updates, check with your lab. Ask your lab to keep the latest status about how the IV generation in MACsec. So if you're using IPsec or TLS for secure tunnel for MACsec between the server and your switch, so make sure your IV generation meet the requirements from IG 8.5. Next one, I think I will give more minutes. KDR, using the KDR function, this is FIPS approved. Check with your lab about IG. Yeah, okay, the references, lots of information from those documents. It's not all, but those I refer those down and learn a lot for this MACsec. Yeah, so question, answer time. I know that not too many time, but I seek you. Yeah, sorry. Yeah.
Any questions?
Yeah, could you just add one more? Yes, this more about a few slides, where it talks about the derivation with the couple slides.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
This one?
Yes.
Diagram?
Yeah. No. I think, next slide.
Oh.
Yeah. Can we stop? Okay, so there is PSK, MSK, and so MSK is derived during KIP session. Okay, that part is clear. Okay, could you go to next slide?
Next slide, okay.
Yep. Okay. So could you describe a little bit about this connectivity association key name?
That key is just like to identify the CAK. It's like actually this key was not used to derive other keys.
Uh-huh.
So this CKN was a CKN. The CAK was derived from the master session key. This key doesn't do anything to derive other keys.
Okay.
However, the CAK was used to derive the KEK, ACK, and ICK.
Ah, okay. And when KDF is used, then SP-800-108 compliant KD. It is SP-800-108 compliant KDF.
Yes, you have to use it in FIPS mode because that is FIPS approved.
Okay.
KDF function.
Yeah, thank you very much. I think that clarifies.
Okay, all right. Thank you.
Thank you, everyone.
Okay, thank you. Yeah.